Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you, so visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
Do you ever get tired of the same old thing? Looking for something new and exciting, but not really sure what to choose? Let us over at King's Coast Coffee take the guesswork out of your coffee subscription. The Roaster's Choice is an always-changing coffee surprise selected and chosen by our head roaster and always a crowd pleaser. Shake up the way you wake up with the Roaster's Choice.
Down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Did you count?
Oh no, I was adjusting your audio level, and so in my head, Kevin, I was counting, but in my I did not move my mouth because I was looking at this thing. Go ahead, Kevin. Sorry, count again.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I swear to God, I counted down in my head. I was counting in my head, and I was looking at the audio because I was messing around with my mixer. Sorry.
This is it. This is the opening of the episode. Fuck. You know that, right?
Just shit. Okay. Hey.
We did it. Episode 67 of Star Wars and Scotch. We're going to be talking about chapter 4 of the Book of Boba Fett. We have a nice Twitter rant we want to talk about with you. And there has not been much other news on Star Wars.
Sorry, guys.
They're really focused on Book of Boba Fett and whatever's coming next. So, but how are you, Tim?
I'm good, Kevin. I'm okay. Are you sipping on some delicious King's Coast coffee this morning?
I am. I made it at the office, and that's where I'm recording. I am live from the Rare Drop Studios in Tampa, Florida.
He's drinking King's Coast. He really wants to start off the shows like that now. Just live from Tampa Bay, Florida. It's the Rare Drop Show.
You can say live from Darkness 429 Studios.
Live from Darkness 429's garage. It's Darkness 429.
You built a studio in your garage. You don't have to call it a garage anymore. It doesn't work as a garage. It functions as a studio.
Live from Tim's sex dungeon. It's Darkness 429 in the morning.
Good. Now all your thirsties are going to.
They already call it my sex dungeon, Kevin.
Yeah, they're going to clip it now because you said it out loud.
Yes. Yeah, so if you guys head on over to facebook.com/darkness429, you too can see my sex dungeon that has lots of Star Wars decor. So come on over.
It does. Tim has way more than me, and I'm jealous.
Sorry, Kevin.
I'm jealous. You have so much cool shit in there. But yes, I am sipping on some delicious King's Coast coffee this morning. I made it with some oat milk because I wanted something a little sweeter. I was not in the mood for black this morning, so I put a little Scotia oat milk in there, and it's delish. It's delish.
It's good to hear,
no
Kevin.
No sugar. So yeah, head over to kingscoastcoffee.com. What I did see is all the advantages have changed for becoming a subscriber. You actually get a better discount now. But the biggest thing with that is we had an on sale for one of our one-off products. And I noticed that the subscribers got 24-hour access and almost bought the whole lot themselves.
Oh.
So,
are we talking about the Jamaica Blue Mountain coffee?
Maybe.
Oh.
So, yeah, they almost bought the whole lot themselves. So, what I'm trying to say is, being a subscriber, no better time to join the King's Club. So, head over to kingscoastcoffee.com. Check it out. There's plenty of perks, new perks that you can get if you join the club, but this is one of the bigger ones. If you're a coffee connoisseur and you want the good stuff, you really should be a subscriber at this point, because it's just gonna benefit you so much. And don't be mad and don't say, Kevin didn't warn me.
No, but we've got so many perks now, Kevin. I mean, like,
it's so good.
There's points. You too could have your own affiliate code. You have friends that like coffee and you want to get rewards and like you want to like make something off of like getting your friends hooked on King's Coast Coffee, then head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com and check out our
affiliate
program.
You don't even have to be a streamer.
You could just be just like average Joe. You could be super awesome Mike who works in the office and just has a bunch of buddies who like coffee. So, hey, Mike.
Like Mike who works in our office?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mike. It's probably the only Mike that listens.
Episode four, chapter four, Book of Boba Fett.
It was good. You loved this episode. I liked this episode a lot. I thought it was really good.
I thought it tied it, obviously. Well, the big thing about this episode is they hinted at Din being a part of the show at least seven times.
Are you
going
to talk about the ending right now?
Well, just because they played.
You know what? Fine. Fuck it, Kevin. Okay, so the ending is not going to. I don't think it's going to involve Din next episode.
They played the Mandalorian music.
Exactly. They played the what?
The Mando. Oh, you think the other Mandos are going to come and help him?
Kevin, what happened? About this. What happened to the group of Mandalorians after they helped Din Djarin escape? The Bounty Hunter Guild. They escaped the Bounty Hunter Guild, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
So, who's on the run from the Bounty Hunters?
Din.
Not just Din. That entire group of Mandalorians are now on the run from the Bounty Hunter Guild. And so my theory is that Din is going to go find the Mandalorians, or there might be a Mandalorian sect that is on Tatooine and he recruits them because he's getting muscle. He already has Chrysanthin. He needs more muscle.
That was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, that was so good. Can we just talk about how soft those transdotions were? Real quick.
Oh my God.
What the hell?
Were you sitting there like me and just going, he's going to rip his arm off?
Yeah, exactly. He held him just like Chewbacca held on to, if you watch the deleted scenes from episode 7, the way he holds on to Umtar Plokt or however you say his name, Chewbacca holds in the exact same way and then rips both of his arms off. So yeah, that's what Wookiees do. Wookiees, that's like one of their like staples. Like that's like one of like their things they do is they rip their enemy's arms off. And for a Transdotion, when he did that, I was like, it'll grow back. Their lips grow back. It's okay. So him ripping the Transdotion's arms off, everyone's like, but no one's like, oh my God. Everyone knew that the Transdotion was going to grow his arm back.
Yeah, he's going to grow his arm back.
I really liked how they gave the nod to the gladiator ring. I thought that was really cool. They gave a lot of backstory to Chrysanthin in like 30 seconds, which was great for me because I didn't read the Dr. Aphra comics. So for me, that character is still very new, very fresh. But for a lot of other people who are, you know, much more intense Star Wars fans than I knew already know that character. So I thought that was really cool that they did that.
Yeah, the other thing that does is it opens up. And again, I don't know if they've discussed gladiatorial stuff in the past in comics and other content that I may not have touched yet, but it opens up the door because the gladiatorial stuff plays a huge role in Knights of the Old Republic. Remember, you have to be a gladiator in the game at one point. And then there's other stuff in SWTOR too. So it does open it up back to introducing those kinds of things and the champions from the pit into canon because a lot of them become legendary in, you know, one era or another. So it's a good thing for the health of the universe and things coming back into play. And new ideas and new things. Because obviously what we saw, especially in Book of Boba Fett, we're seeing the whole cyberpunk side of Star Wars.
I'm loving it. I like how they call the group the mods. I chuckled to that. I thought was really good. Yeah, but it's very cyberpunky, like we said last week, where it's just like we haven't talked about any of the bio hacks and bio mods that are in the Star Wars universe. And knowing that there's these parlors, essentially how it was in cyberpunk, where you just walk and you're like, I'd like a bio mod.
I thought it was funny how he said, like, aren't you a little old for this?
Yeah, they're all teenagers. I noticed that, too. I'm like, these are all 20-something-year-olds. Like, why are they, like, why is that? Why is it, like, us, the younger generation? Like, why are we the ones that are so obsessed over biomods?
Because the body can probably handle it better than an older person's body.
True. That's very true. They can regen. Well, I mean, but they also have back-to-tanks and stuff. So it's like, is that true?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Boba Fett looks amazing now. Look how they made Temuera Morrison's skin go from being just completely burnt off, like he'd been in the sun for 7 years straight, to like now looking all healthy and plump and full. Like he looks amazing now.
Maybe it's a fad, like, you know. Mom, I'm getting a body mod. No, you're gonna ruin your body.
Yeah, exactly. It could be piercings and tattoos of that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So the mod parlor was fun. I thought it was funny when he said, "Aren't you gonna close her up?" And he said, "And cover hide up all that beautiful beauty." Work.
I feel like as a tattoo artist or someone who has tattoos and who has friends that are tattoo artists, you would assume that they also feel the same way. It's like, why would you want to cover up all this beautiful work that I just did?
Yeah, no, I was vibing with it. I got it. I felt it. The only interesting thing to me was this with Fennec and the rescuing.
Mm-hmm.
What is Fennec's motive? Is she truly tired of being an assassin? Why is she with? I didn't really get that. I didn't understand why she just kind of flipped from, you know, I want to keep being this to I'm going to roll with you and see how this plays out. Does she actually believe what he's saying? Because he's obviously introducing a concept into the underworld that is not too popular.
Yep.
So I'm really curious what you think. Is she being genuine? Yeah, I think she's being genuine. But what's the motivation? Why is she giving up this life that she's made a ton of money off of, obviously, to do this?
I think knowing the way that Boba is going about this whole new mentality of just existing in this world. Mm-hmm. I think she recognizes that he has mentioned multiple times throughout the season so far, saying that you don't need to work. And they even said it in the trailer, in the opening recap, it was like, you don't need to work for scumbags. You shouldn't work for these people. And I think Fennec understands that. Like, the last job she took on, she died. She literally died for it. And she's like, I think to her point is seeing Boba Fett's his mentality of being a little more soft in the sense of going about and extending a hand instead of just chopping it off first. You know, like he's gone and he's closed up these loops that he had left hanging. But I think for the most part, he's definitely changed. When she said, like, the Tusken Raiders have made you soft, he's like, no, it's made me stronger. And he's right. He is stronger. He's a much different character than he was 5 years ago.
Outside of Django and outside of the little gang he was a part of when he was a child,
he's never had a family.
Really been no one else.
Right. He's never had a family. And that's when he said, it's like, you need a tribe. And I think that finally clicked for him, because to your point, Kevin, he's always been on the run. He's always been by himself. He had a couple bounty hunters that knew of Boba Fett because they were friends with Django. And so they took Boba under their wing to kind of like teach him. And he kind of quickly became the leader of that group. But still, it was no more than all of these individuals in a group all looking out for themselves. And Boba Fett, I think, understood, watching how all the Tusken Raiders, like, they all leaned on each other for certain skills and certain things. Like, he understood, again, that family concept of, like, it takes a village. So
he definitely envied the community aspect that the Tuskens had.
Yep. And I think Fennec sees that. And I think she understands it. And she's like, why do I need to try to put my neck out all the time for these people that want to just serve themselves and not serve me? Boba Fett saying, I promise and I pledge myself to you to make sure that you're safe. Like, that was a bond. And like, that was a very important moment for the two of them, because it was like, hey, I've got your back as long as you've got mine. And she's, I think that to Fennec's point, she's never had that either. She's been a lone assassin. She's probably been by herself. She's been just taking bounties when she can find them, and that's it. And she's made a name for herself killing people. But I think she wants more than that. She even said, she said, like, it, you know, we don't get to decide when we stop. And so I think that's like, if she knows that she can't quit this lifestyle, she might as well just make the best that she can out of it. And Boba Fett has proved immediately to her, like, then within like the first time they met, saving her life, taking care of all these things, they already built a very, very strong bond very, very quickly. And then that last dialogue that they had outside of Boba Fett's Jabba's palace before they got the fire spray, I think that right there just sealed the deal for her. She's just like, I might as well just stick it out with this guy.
Yeah. And segueing from that, in the same vein, you know, season one of Mandalorian, we saw world building, understanding new characters. And then by the end, we were doing the video game-esque building a crew and a team to go on mission.
We saw a little bit of that in season two, and I think it ended with the potential for camaraderie in season three. In this, it's following a similar formula where he's building, you know, a base and an army basically to fight the Pikes and defend Tatooine. And it was interesting at the table with the other families, with the Transdotians, and I don't know the other two. The Aqualish is the one. I don't know the other aliens. The one all the way at the end.
The dog looking guy?
Yeah, the dog face.
I want to call him a mud pup every time, and I don't know why.
And that was interesting because he's right. They're not stupid, and they know the Pikes would eventually come for them too, but they're making a ton of money now, and they don't want to cut that off. So his way of saying stay neutral, but now he does need an army. So as he's building his friends, I'm wondering this. This is a one-off show. This is not going to be a series that happens in multiple seasons. I now, originally I was like, there's a chance Boba dies at the end of this. I don't think that's the case. Mm-mm. I think they're giving Boba a new identity
yep.
for this era of Star Wars. And you're going to see more of Black Chrysanthemum. We're going to see more of Fennec. Obviously, we've seen Fennec in almost every piece of new Star Wars media, which I have no issues with. She's a great character. And I love that Ming-Na Wen voices her in the cartoons, too. That makes me happy.
She's so cool.
So with that being said, I feel like we're on that journey again to build this team, and then that'll be Boba's syndicate by the end of this. And I noticed they're not using words like crime lord and syndicate and all of this house. With Boba. It's very mafia.
Yep.
It's very like family, daimyo, which is a Japanese term. Yep. It's very, because it feels like the mafia.
It's more respected.
The old school mafia,
Mafia, old school gangsters, because it wasn't just like crime, murder, and like that. It was a part of it. Yeah, it was a big part of it. But it was this Robin Hood. You know, it was mm-hmm. taking from one to give to the other. You know, it's that continuous building of an anti-hero that I love so much about his character. And I really didn't think I was going to love Boba Fett. And I thought about this too, Kevin, to your point of like, they only have six episodes or seven episodes to do all of this. Mm-hmm. And that's it. But Boba Fett will continue to live on. There's no way yep. that they just kill Boba Fett off at the end. Nope. And which gives him fluidity to not be tied. Honestly, like I thought about this too, is I wish they would give him another season just because I like his character so much. But because of the timeline that we're in and they're continuously building more stories within this time period, Boba Fett now has the freedom as Temuera Morrison as Boba Fett has the freedom to move around, and it allows him, and it allows Boba Fett, the character, to continue being put into new stories being told via different mediums as well. Animated books, comic books, you know, any of that. So I like that a lot. I like that for him. I really have come to really like this. I like this character more than I ever liked Boba Fett from old, because like he actually has a spirit, I guess, to him. And it's just like, I really like the Shogun attitude that they've given him. Like, I know it's a lot of Temuera Morrison's spirit of like his culture. I always get this like very Islander, like Maui vibe from him every time. Like I'm watching him on screen, but I like that about him. I like that presence. It's very, what's the word? I don't want to say primitive, but it's very, it's just old. It feels like that like Japanese, like Shogun samurai. Like he just feels like there's so much honor in everything that he's doing, where before like Boba Fett, of like the original trilogy just felt like this just scummy, just bounty hunter. Like that was it. Like there was nothing to him other than just a villain. And now he's a character that I've really actually come to be attached to, which is weird because everybody else, I feel like in the Star Wars universe, loves Boba Fett. Anytime I've gone to Star Wars Celebration, there's Mandalorians up the ass. Anytime like you ever talk, like when Battlefront, people freaked the hell out when Boba came out of the Sarlacc pit. We'll get to the Sarlacc pit in a second, because that scene was so awesome. But like Boba Fett, just I could never understand why people loved him so much when he had no screen time. He literally had two lines and he had a total of like, I think, 5 minutes on screen. And people love him. But now I get it.
It's interesting because you and I felt the same way about Boba Fett, which is apparently very rare. You know, I know there was not much meat on the bone. That was always my issue with him. It was like He's this polarizing, iconic character that no one knows jack shit about unless you've read comics. And then once they, you know, canned Legends in EU, it was like, okay, now he really has no backstory.
Right, exactly. So, he was just this thing that existed in ether.
So it's great to learn more about him. I definitely have changed my feelings on him because of this show. You know, he's a more fleshed out character. Like you said, he's not this scummy bounty hunter. And he might have been at one point, but maybe he's just grown as a person and has decided that honor, and he wants to be more like a Mandalorian, if you're really breaking it
honestly,
down.
Honestly, yeah, he feels Mandalorian.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the shift in saying that him and his father claim to be Mandalorian. And I say that on purpose, not because I don't think he is.
I totally forgot about that. I forgot he was a foundling. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I don't...
That makes so... I like that. Wow.
Yeah, I don't... I say it that way on purpose. Not that I disagree or agree. Yeah. It's because there will always be controversy when that comes up in the Star Wars universe. I'm not talking about fandom.
Right.
I'm talking about Mandalorians will probably always have a problem with him saying his father was a foundling. And was a Mandalorian.
Yeah, but they can't fight that though, because the chain code. Kevin, that's how he gets the freaking Mandalorians. He brings up the freaking chain code. He brings him. He's like, all right. He walks. I guarantee you, Jon Favreau is going to be in the freaking armor, and he's like, "What are you doing here?" And he's like, "I'm a Mandalorian."
Oh, you think they're going to bring out the Vizsla?
Of course, dude. A Vizsla's going to come
out.
Which
Vizsla that is?
I don't know, but he's going to
Jon Favreau's character.
He's going to come out. Well, Jon Favreau's played a couple of Vizslas. He hasn't been. Wait, no, he was a Vizsla, and who else was he? Who was Death Watch?
He was Vizsla twice.
Okay, so he was two different Vizslas.
Paz Vizsla is the one from Mandalorian.
So he's gonna walk up to that crew that saved Din, and he's like, "I'm a Mandalorian, just like you." And he's like, "No, you're not." And he's like, brings up chain code. Look.
Well, they did say they were gonna move the Coburn.
They're gonna move the what?
The Coburn, there.
Yeah,
little,
exactly. But we don't know where they moved it, but they were in Outer Rim, so them moving to Tatooine could make perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah, because he said, like, get out of here. He's like, we'll have to move the Coburn, and he said, this is the way, remember?
Uh-huh.
In one of the most epic Star Wars scenes ever.
Yeah, it was so good, because it was an awesome Western shootout. Like, it was so neat. But it makes sense, and that's where I guarantee you that's why they did the Mandalorian theme song. It's not going to be Din. Everyone's going to be like, oh, Din Djarin's coming back, blah, blah, blah. And it's no. He needs muscle. He needs fighters. He can't just do it with just Din. And Din's off with Katee Sackhoff, going to go with the Darksaber, going to go figure that stuff out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like your theory. I don't think it's going to be that, but I like your theory, and I kind of hope it is. Just because of the way they run Star Wars, I think it's going to be Din.
I don't see him leaving Tatooine, and I see no reason for Din to come to Tatooine. Like, Din's business is done. There is no reason for him or Bo-Katan with the Darksaber to be coming to Tatooine. So unless he sends out some tight beam communication to Din, which I don't think he does, because before the fire spray flies off, he says, my debt to you is paid, right? Isn't that what he says? Or something to that extent where he just like, he says like, that's, I'm done or something like that. And then flies off.
Yeah, they were even. He's like, we're even.
And then boom, he flies off. So there's no reason for them to communicate with each other.
I'm with you. I like it. And I'm not even speaking from a logical standpoint. I'm speaking from a marketing Disney standpoint of connecting everything and bringing him back.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think they would do that. I like the way you're describing it much better as a plot point. And it would make more sense for the future. And as Disney brings Mandalorians more into the fold, because Mandalorians are such a huge part of EU and Legends, like, yeah, such a huge part. And their lore is so rich. And the wars with the Jedi, everything's so cool. I just want more, man. I want the Mandalorians to have their own movies. You know, I would love content on the Jedi Mandalorian Wars from way back when.
Mm.
So the more that you bring in people that are not Din Djarin, that are not the other Mandalorians we met in the show, the better off I am, because yep, I want more. So I'm with you 100%. I don't think that's what they'll do, but I love that. As a plot point.
So what do you think they're gonna do? I want to hear your theory.
I just think they're gonna do the cookie cutter. Like, they played the Mando music. They teased him. You know, he's gonna call in help from Din. Maybe not the rest of the team, but Din and maybe some of his friends. Obviously not.
But
Cara,
who are
Dune,
his friends? He's got no. He has no one left.
Could be other bounty hunters that they worked with in the past. From the guild,
maybe.
Because they're all buddy buddy like that. Like, that's how him and Black Chrysanthemum know each other. So why wouldn't there be other maybe maybe Bosk is gonna come to the rescue.
Jesus Christ, dude. I don't want to see another Transdotion for a while.
They're wonderful.
They are wonderful, but that entire scene, it made them look like pushovers. And that's not how Transdotions are.
Transdotions. Not every Transdotion is warlike.
But they are naturally, innately just ready to fuck shit up, Kevin. Like they
also, that's like an 8-foot tall Wookiee that is everyone in the galaxy knows how dangerous he is.
Godzilla! Like there was 3 of them there. And they didn't do anything. That's my problem with that entire scene is Transdotions are hunters.
Listen to me. If that Wookiee picked me up and was about to rip my arm off, would you jump into the fray or would you be like, you're on your own?
I'm also not 500 pounds of muscle, so I don't know. I don't know what that would feel like. So I feel like the big lizards have always been made out to be like these nasty, like especially in Rebels or in Clone Wars, whenever the Transdotians showed up, they were terrifying. They were hunters. They could cloak. They would like track you with smell and they would just like, they were scary. And even like Skeer in the High Republic is terrifying.
Skeer.
I have a
question for you.
Sure.
What happened to all the other Gamorrean guards?
Yeah. Okay. That entire scene where like we have to time it right when they're getting the fire spray back.
Yeah. There's like 75 guards.
Yeah.
There,
all
and
of these red
2.
Dots show up and they're like, well, we have to time it right. I'm like, okay, cool. So it's going to be like a stealth mission. And it was like there was 4 people the entire time.
Also, that stealth mission was like me trying to play Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I was looking at that and I was like, man, if this was me in a video game, I'd just blow through the front door. Not going through
the
sewer.
Yeah, I always try and sneak and then I get caught and then it's just like, let's do this.
Yeah, you're just like, all right, time to open it up. I feel that.
But where did all the other Gamorrean guards go?
Lunch break?
That's one hell of a lunch break.
I mean, they're really big.
Hey. I don't know. It's just weird that they all disappeared and he only has 2 now.
Oh, you're talking about when Bib Fortuna died? I thought we were talking about during the fire spray scene.
No, I'm talking about from Bib's time ruling to Boba's time ruling.
Oh, I see. Ended up with
2 Gamorreans.
Because in the scene where they're going through Jabba's palace to get the fire spray out.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, there's like 100 guards and we only see 4 of them. But okay, to your point, the Gamorreans, I bet you they ate each other. Bib stopped feeding them and they got hungry.
Interesting.
That's what pigs do. They're gross.
Also, the fight against the Pikes obviously is going to be the scene where he's riding the Rancor.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, he's going to be going through Mos Espa on the back of a Rancor.
Because he's built, again, it goes back to the video game thing. It's like, you have received Rancor, shows up on the screen.
Yeah, but he's been...
you have partnered with Black Crescenton.
But he's been training his Rancor for a bit.
You recruited the mods. Uh-huh. You know, that's how that's the vibe I'm getting.
When he said
as
mods,
I thought
of Boba Fett as a streamer and like my little mods like running around like banning people. Like that's what I thought of when she was like, the mods will take care of it. And I was like, yeah, they do.
You should do a portrait of 4 of your oldest mods.
Oh my God.
Like
yes.
Superimposed on them with on the bikes and everything and hanging
so
in your
good.
Office.
Yeah, I like that idea, Kevin. That's good.
Also, while we're on the topic of the mods, people were mad last week.
Why? About the Power Rangers?
The Power Rangers and Cyberpunk and this isn't Star Wars, da da da. Look, body modification has been a part of Star Wars since day one. You want to know why? I'm going to give you a little bit of information. Underneath that black Darth Vader armor.
Yeah, he's also
he
a cyborg.
Looks just like that, only has way more modifications, far more than anyone in that group. So wouldn't it lend credence to, and I already know the answer to this, because if you follow EU Legends or current canon, there's body modifications all over the place. What about, what's his face? Lando's second in command. What's his name? I never remember his name.
Oh, the guy with the band on his back?
Of his
head?
Name? That's going to bother me.
I don't know, Kevin.
It's going to bother me, Tim. Anyway, body modification.
Name.
Lando's.
Yeah, you're gonna look for it right now.
Yeah, because Lobot. Thank you, God. That was gonna bother me. It's a part of Star Wars. It always has been. Just because it's being presented in a different way that reminds you of other IPs doesn't mean it's not part of Star Wars. So stop it. If you don't like it, don't watch it.
Yeah, just turn the show.
You don't
off.
Have to. I don't need to see. If I type in Boba Fett, I don't need to hear it. I don't care what you think. I really don't. I'm enjoying the show. I think it's, is it my favorite piece of Star Wars content? No.
Am I really enjoying it? Yes.
Yeah.
Will it be part of my watch through and chronological? Yes. So just if you don't like it, don't watch it. I'm so over this, which we'll talk about in a second. I want to talk about one other thing before we transition, but I'm just so over the negativity. It's like they could release an episode that gives everything the way that someone would have wanted it from Eeyore Legends. And you know what they would say?
Wasn't good enough.
It wasn't the way I imagined it. Yep. That is always going to be their excuse. You know, if Mara Jade gets introduced into the EU, obviously they're going to have to change her character because already they've made lore choices that would conflict with how she was in EU in Legends. But there is a big gap where Luke could be in a romantic relationship. Regardless, if they introduce her and it's played and she's played by Karen Gillian, I guarantee you people, that's not how I would have imagined her based on my, you know, when I read the comics when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let them be creators. They're creating something new. No one took your Legends books away. If you really like Boba and Legends, go back and read your books and your comics. Enjoy them. But stop trying to ruin it for other people just because you don't like the direction they took. It's so juvenile and stupid. So before we go into that, where do you think the mayor is right now, Tim?
Where do I think the... I think the mayor's hanging out with the Pikes.
In cahoots?
Yeah, for sure. Why? What do you think, Kevin?
No, I'm just curious because they said he can't be found. The mods are looking for him and his assistant is just singing like a bird, according to
Fennec. I think he's going to show up in at the final episode or something, or they'll catch him doing, he'll slip up and then he'll say like he's been helping the Pikes and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that's what I see happening.
I also don't, obviously we've established last episode that we don't think he's in control, so it would make sense.
No, he's a puppet. He's 100% a puppet. He's too juvenile for running the show.
There was really no Easter eggs from last week's episode that we didn't cover, ironically. The one thing we didn't mention was when he talks about riding bigger creatures than the Rancor. That's a throwback to the holiday special. Which someone said the funniest thing online is that Boba should go into the tank and they should do the dream sequence and it should be him dreaming about when he's in the holiday special, but it's completely unmodified, like still animated. And the best comment I saw was like, yeah, I mean, he did that while he was high as fuck on spice. So. And I was like, that would be amazing. Please, internet, show ends, someone on YouTube, please make this happen.
That's funny. I like that.
Pretty much everything important for Easter eggs we actually covered last week. The one thing that Tim caught that I actually missed this week
was
our buddy Rex from Star Tours got a new job.
Yeah, I like that, dude. He's doing poker.
So if you know R3X in the original Star Tours, he was RX24. His nickname is Rex. Not to be confused with Rex the Clone Trooper.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Tim. You're the one who found it. You tell him.
Oh, so the cool thing about this is that he was the original pilot for Star Tours, and then when they updated the ride, they removed him, but then they put him back in. Where did they put him? They put him over in Smuggler's Run. You could find him there. But I really thought it was cool that they put Rex in again in this casino scene, which I thought was really, really cool. I like that he has a place in the Star Wars universe, that because a lot of people don't remember him now because that ride is so old. Like, Star Tours has been around for so long and they needed to update it and they needed to do more things to that ride so that it felt, you know, current with the times, and Rex was the original, and I think they needed to update. If you watch Imagineering on Disney Plus, there is a Star Wars episode and it gives you the entire backstory to how the entire Star Tours ride came to be, what it looked like from development all the way into its implementations, how they've continued to update it throughout the years. It's really, really cool and it's definitely worth a watch. But I'm really glad that he's here and he's in the show. I thought that was really neat.
Also, the other Easter egg, and we already touched on this, but people are like, how do you know it's him? Confirmed this week when Black Chrysanthemum leaves Garza's cantina and she turns and goes, hit it, Max.
Yep.
So we do know that the Max Rebo Band, even though we already said it, we already knew, completely confirmed Max Rebo Band is found a new job, survived the Sarlacc pit, and is back working again, which we're all happy about.
I can't believe that he's alive. Like that just,
he's a tough son of a bitch.
Yeah, that really just blows my mind that this guy is alive. Or the entire team is alive.
Or Latins or something. I can't remember his race. Let me look it up. Orlatins? Star Wars.
Ortolan. He's an Ortolan. Ortolans in SWTOR. They actually, like, they talk about how hardy they are, and there's one scene where one gets possessed by a dead Sith, and it's the creepiest shit you've ever seen.
Oh my god.
Because this little blue, like, squeaky creature, all of a sudden his eyes go red, and he's got this red mist, and he's like,
oh shit. That was awesome.
Before we go into the Twitter rant, you sent me this last week, the Knights of Ren trailer. Real or fake, Tim?
Fake. 100% fake. It's not real.
It's fake, unfortunately, because Disney would have taken it down by now.
Yeah, I really, and really, they really, anything. Really, really wanted that to be real.
Whoever made that, I hope Lucas is hiring them.
They definitely did a stellar job. It was so good. I'm honestly really, really disappointed that it's not real. Only because it looks so good. I'm really disappointed. Not gonna lie, Kevin, I was really pumped for this.
The other reason that initially I was like, man, there might be some truth to this is it was rumored after the Lego special that had Ren, the character, in it, that Christian Slater was going to be playing Ren because he played him in the Lego special. And then when I read the Ren comic, which you read too,
yeah,
you see the face, the gray haired guy, you're like, oh, that could totally be Christian Slater.
Yep.
So I was like, maybe, but yeah, it's just, the animation is phenomenal, but you could tell it was like made by a small group.
Yeah,
not
someone did a breakdown. There's a couple scenes where it's just like, oh yeah, that's not it. But there's definitely, like, whoever mixed the music did a phenomenal job. There's a there's a part where it's like the da 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 da. That part is mixed into something else, and it just sounds so Star. It's very Star Wars, but it's so different and dark. That's why I was like, man, that could definitely be a Disney Plus show, because they've done that with a lot of the music. Is where they use a show, they make a tone for the show, like Mandalorian. Has its the big didgeridoo, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, very tribal sounding. And then Book of Boba has the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, but it still all steals, it feels very much the same. Even Bad Batch has its own thing where it still feels very much so Star Wars, but it has its own vibe. And so that music at the end, I listened to it multiple times, like, holy fuck, like, they did it. Although they used this part from Star Wars and they made it sound really dark and like Sith-y, you know, but it was as soon as the Knight of Ren, like, comes out and he looks like the Witch King from Lord of the Rings. I was like, no one looks like that. And there's only, so based on Star Wars canon, there's only two people in the Knights of Ren that have ever wielded a lightsaber. The original leader of Ren, the Knights of Ren, who's Ren, and Kylo Ren, who killed Ren to become the leader of the Knights of Ren. So those are the only two people in the history of the Knights of Ren that have wielded lightsabers. So even though the Knights of Ren are in tune with the dark side of the Force, they are Force sensitive, but they are not like Siths. They aren't like Force wielders in that sense.
Yep, I agree with you. And you hit all the points, so... It's unfortunate. It was exciting for a moment.
So
whoever made it is very talented. Hopefully they get a job with Lucasfilm, because they deserve it.
Dude, the scene where he just stands on top of the TIE fighter and ignites both the lightsaber. I was just like, oh, it was just so good.
They will not be making the Witch King of Mustafar movie, unfortunately.
Oh, but even the Mustafar, like, all of that was just so good. Like, someone spent time on that. Someone put a lot of hours, months of time into that.
Someone saw the end of Rise of Skywalker and said, man, they got done dirty, and decided to make that. Because they did.
They did. They got pooped on.
So it sucks. It was really cool. I love fan stuff like that, so I'm always looking for it. That was a fun one, but unfortunately, I'm very confident in saying it's not real. And the major one is the takedown. If Disney... let that sit for more than an hour. Like, it's just not going to happen. So, cool.
I agree.
Before we check out for the day, we wanted to go over one final thing. I found this rant yesterday. It's from another Star Wars podcast called Around the Galaxy. It's at ATGcast on Twitter. And they went off on some, you know, what we were talking about a little bit earlier in the episode. And I'm going to read the rant because I don't want to take anything away from what they did. Again, it's ATGcast, Around the Galaxy, if you want to check it out. And this is what they wrote. There's a pattern among those that don't like Disney-era Star Wars. Outside of looking for inane details to be mad about, controversies that don't exist, and repeated talking point verbatim from YouTubers who have monetized anger, below is a punch list of recurring themes. 1. There is a belief that people who like certain Star Wars content after 2015 are not real fans. They miss out on the fact that disagreement can be part of the fun of being a fan. Healthy discussion is what fandom thrives on. Tim and I have said this like 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else is gatekeeping and it's gross. Tim and I have also said that 1,000 times. 2, use of terms like objectively bad immediately show a lack of understanding of what art or entertainment is. You can't quantify how good or bad a movie is. You can disagree all day about what you like and critique technicalities, but there are no data points on good or bad. 100% true. 3, most of the things they profess to want in their Star Wars are action figure fantasies and millimeter thin storytelling.
Yep.
This is a knife to the gut. Action is part of the story. It is not the story. Otherwise, it's 1990s coin-op Street Fighter. 4, there is a bizarre belief that all the people who voice a positive opinion on recent Star Wars are paid by Disney to announce
it. I wish, dude. Holy crap.
Same. Tim and I would love to be on that payroll. This not only shows a lack of understanding of how marketing works, it shows conspiracy theory level paranoia. There's a cultish we will win mentality, believing that since they did not get the stories they want, beating their chests enough will make Lucasfilm redo their stories. Which every time people brought that to us, I just laugh because I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know how much money is invested in this? Not happening. It is in line with those that believe, and I'm not going to read that part. 6A, finally, a belief that Star Wars has been ruined by political agendas. If one finds a political agenda where there is none, it is you who has the agenda. Has Star Wars and many other franchises evolved to reflect a modern take on the world we live in? Yes. 6B, marketing and discussing in interviews how your films are being inclusive is good for business. If go woke, go broke was a proven corollary, I promise you it would not be done. Lucasfilm and Disney are businesses, not grassroots activist groups. And there is a difference between not liking some things and making it your entire personality. This was about the full time. Disney can do nothing to please me, folks. There's plenty I don't love about some of the Disney era, and there is stuff I don't like from OT and PT. That's the rant. I think it's on point. I think it exemplifies what Tim and I have been saying a lot. Even the last part about inclusion, you see people complaining like, oh, Disney's Star Wars gone woke. What is wrong with including other people that haven't been included in the Star Wars universe in the past? What is wrong with that? Please give me that answer. That's probably one of the more infuriating points. And then on the other side of the spectrum for me is the people that complain they don't do enough.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all of this stuff about Tamira Morrison and his, you know, bringing his cultural identity into the show and them writing it in because he felt he wanted to express himself personally more and have more personal attachment to the character. And then people say it wasn't enough. Like, let the story play out. Let it be what it is. And I'm happy that they are including people that have previously not been in Star Wars, you know, minorities, LGBTQIA plus people, like everything. It is really good and refreshing to see different faces and different things and not the status quo that we are used to.
Yep.
And I am really getting, just like him, sick of hearing about, I don't like this, comparing it to other things. But Tim and I are the first people to sit here and say when we don't like something. But
I'll, we also don't,
yeah, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't sit there and go like, well, the rest of this is going to be shit because I didn't like this plot point. Look at Boba Fett. Both of us were like, oh God, you brought him back. And yeah, now here we are a year and a half later.
It's freaking
like,
awesome.
Show's good. Exactly. So that's my 2 cents. I wanted to read that rant because I feel like it falls in line with a lot of, not the people that listen to our show, but the people that listen to our show that have to deal with those people. So I wanted you to not, I wanted you to feel again, that sense of community. Like, yeah, I may not like X, Y, and Z, but I do like this. There's nothing wrong with disliking it. I didn't think the sequel trilogy was great. I also hate Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace. I shouldn't say hate. I still love them personally, but you know what I mean. I'm not a big fan. I think Phantom Menace, aside from the last 10 minutes, as I've said previously, is the worst movie in the entire franchise.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So
Just let it ride. And if you don't like it, you don't have to be a part of it. And I know for some people, there is that, you know, oh, I have to let go of Star Wars. I have to. No, maybe you're just not into Boba Fett. Maybe you don't like the sequel trilogy. But there's going to be other content that comes along. But Disney's not going to stop. They bought this IP. They want to make it profitable. They saw what happened with Marvel. They want to do something similar with Star Wars. They realize TV shows is the way to tell Star Wars stories.
Oh, yeah.
Animated and live action. And then supplement story with movies. And that's what's going to happen for probably the rest of our lives.
I think so.
So if you're not down for the ride, feel free to enjoy your old content and get off. But that's what's happening. And you complaining is not going to change that at all.
Nope.
That's my two cents.
Too much money. Like Kevin said, there's just too much money invested in what we got right now. And they know it works. Like it works. It does well. It gets people talking. It gets people enjoying Star Wars again. I've had more conversations about Star Wars in the past 2 years than I have in my entire life.
I actually enjoy the comparisons to EU and Legends when it's done tastefully. Not like, oh, this happened in Legends and now they're doing this. I like saying, what did they pull from this to be inspired to make this now when they retell the story or they're telling a new story? How did they find inspiration in the past? And I got the Ralph McQuarrie books for Christmas and just thumbing through that. You went through them for like 10 seconds in my office last week.
Yeah,
like,
it was so
this
cool.
is from this. And, you know, I recognize this. And so it is not these baseless people that are not fans of the same things you are and were. Mm-hmm. It is people that are taking things that weren't used, small, minor details from the past and making them into this ever growing, exciting world and bringing things to the forefront that weren't there before.
Yep.
And you don't have to like every step, but just like I will watch Attack of the Clones or Phantom Menace because it's part of the story. It's part of the story and that's the end of it. And you don't have a choice. And if you don't want to be along for the ride, don't be along for the ride. It's totally fine. Go find another fandom that you can gatekeep.
But
you
know, no, but these are the same people that are still going to watch it. Like they're going to watch it because they yearn 100%. For it. These are the same people that are going to go to Star Wars Celebration and they're going to sit on the panels and they're going to be like, I love Star Wars. And like in the same breath, they're going to be like, fuck you. You know, it's like these are the people that just no matter what, they could get literally everything they wanted and they're still going to find something to be upset about. And yep, it's unfortunate. Like I said, it's the same people everywhere. Like you get it in every walk of life, unfortunately.
That was one of the comments is this is not limited to Star Wars fandom. Nope. You know, we're going to see this with Lord of the Rings in September. 100%.
See video games all the time.
We see it in video. Halo. Yeah. Look at Halo. People are picking apart the story because of X inconsistency and Y. Let people tell their stories. You don't have to like every single minute detail. There are plenty of side quests in games like Skyrim that I've done that are complete garbage that I hated doing. But the overall feeling of being inside of that world was the exciting part. You know, there was stuff in Jedi Fallen Order that I was like, eh, whatever. But the overall feeling of playing that game felt really good.
Yeah.
So that's my, and again, if something doesn't hit me, I'm the first person to be like, I didn't really like that. And you know, there were plenty of episodes of Mandalorian where Tim and I were like, meh, it was all right.
Yeah.
So that's the mentality. I think that's the respectful and positive way. I love disagreeing with people. I love when people tweet us at Star Wars Scotch and say, you miss this, or I think this, or I'm all about that discussion, that theory crafting. Like, that's the fun part of being a fan. Don't be a douchebag. That's the shitty part of being a fan. It's not hard.
He's right. I love that. Don't be a douchebag.
Don't be a douchebag. It's very simple. Or don't be trying to think of a Star Wars term. A nerf herder.
Yeah, there you go. Nerf herder. I like that.
You stupid nerf herder. Thank you so much for checking out this episode. You can check out Tim, fb.gg/darkness429.
Hello.
On what?
I said hello.
Oh, I thought you said oh, like I said something
hello.
Wrong. Or did I say the wrong URL?
No, that's
URL?
Me. I'm that
Was it
person.
The wrong number?
No, you're right.
Darkness429. Yes, just making sure. You could go check him out Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern-ish.
Yeah.
He'll be shooting someone something. He might even shoot Dr.
No,
Lupo.
I'm doing God of War today. I'm going to be doing some God of War.
PC God of War? Uh-huh. I'll be watching.
Yeah. One of my favorite games to play.
I had a friend just restart Witcher because we were talking about, I'm like three episodes in.
and we were talking about something I didn't like on the show. What a concept that I was like, wow, this is different from the games, and I didn't like how they did this character dirty. Guess what? I'm still going to watch the show and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, next to Jedi Fallen Order, God of War, Witcher 3, they're like the best games of the last decade for me. So yeah, enjoy that, because I was watching Ben play it the other day, and I could watch people enjoy that.
Yeah, my first playthrough was great, but I think my second one's gonna be like really special, because I already know the ending.
Exactly.
I already know the ending, so I get to look for other things, and I know I kind of rushed through stuff, so I'm excited to go back and kind of just
are
like
you gonna
take
try
my
and do the Valkyries?
I already did some of the Valkyries my first playthrough. So it's like it's fun extra stuff. It's not really fun stream content unless your viewers are like really into just watching you grind your face against something.
Yeah, I killed four of them and I gave up on five. I think I was on my 30th attempt and I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy God of War. And check out that King's Coast Coffee. All those perks we mentioned at the beginning of the show. Make sure you head over there and check it out. And Tim and I will be back next week for Chapter 5 of The Book of Boba Fett. And if you missed previous episodes, go to raredrop.co, click on that Star Wars and Scotch logo, and you can catch up on all of the things we've been saying about Book of Boba Fett. You have a great week. We'll see you next week. Tim,
yes, sir. And may the Force be with you.
Always.
Always.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.